Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. You know, we talk about this quite often, that the church, the big C church, we've been rescued and forgiven and then equipped to be the aroma of Christ. King David wrote about that through the Psalms. To bring forth, to be the hands that does the will of God, to be His care to those who are struggling, to those who are stuck maybe in brokenness or neglect or just need some support. And so I'm so excited to bring our special guest to you today. Today we have Herbie Newell, we have Christy Mack Seegers, and we have Dr. Rick Morton with us today. Hey guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks
for having us.
So I know, Herbie, you've been with Lifeline for some time now. You and your sweet wife, you and Ashley just have a passion for the unborn. And you're president, executive director at Lifeline. I've got to tell you, your website is incredible and so many tools there. But you've just been a catalyst for so many things, for equipping the church, so many tools to show the church, here's where you begin, here's how you get started. And we are so grateful for that. And then Rick Morton, Dr. Rick, we just love a lot of your writings that you've shared with us. And you've just been a shepherd to a lot of us, help us get going in adoption and in foster care, and just mobilizing the church, your latest book for Global Orphanology. And you've just been a blessing to me. I share your book so often, and you're the vice president there at Lifeline of Engagement. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you spend a lot of your time engaging the church and these sorts of things. So we're anxious to hear from you. And then Christy Mack Seegers. Christy and I have been working together on some things. And Christy, we super grateful for you. And I know you hold a master's in social work, and you work kind of on the domestic side as the domestic director at Lifeline. And boy, you really have, you're like me, you just really have that passion to help hurting families.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, guys, for being here today. And we want to talk about a new curriculum you guys have brought together at Lifeline that you've been working on. And so tell us a little bit more about this this new resource called Worthy.
Yes, I'm so excited to share about it. This is our heart is to really be able to equip the church to engage, just as you said, to be the hands and feet. And we've been working with women in unexpected pregnancies since our founding in 81, and have just really seen the need, as we continue to work with these women, for them to be wrapped around by the local church, to really be poured into. And so we are developing this curriculum, Worthy, to help the church engage in this, from just developing ministries that they have, to partnering with pregnancy centers, to being mentors to these women. And we're just excited about it.
Man, that is great, Christy, because, you know, I just remember growing up in the small town that I did, and just some people we've had, some guests here on the podcast. I think back to Adrienne Collins, and even being at a Christian university, being active in her local church when she found herself in a crisis pregnancy situation, she did not feel she could turn to her church or anyone in her church. And so she kind of just pulled back and got help another way. And, you know, it's just really sad that girls who find themselves, young women who find themselves in this situation, don't feel that they are welcome to come to their local church or come to a church or come to believers and try to get the help that they need. So what are some practical suggestions, I guess, Rick or Herbie, whoever wants to jump in here, to help a church become adoption friendly? And I don't mean just for adoptive families, but, you know, to minister to the birth family who is going through grief and loss, and then women in crisis pregnancies. That's kind of a huge ask, but that's kind of where I want to land today and kind of focus on this.
Well, Lynette, I'll jump in and just say, you know, one of the things we want to just say to the church and encourage is we want the church to, like, our goal, right, is to be like Jesus. We're striving for Christ-likeness. And when you look in the scriptures and you look at the example of things like John 4 and yeah. Jesus and the woman at the well, you know, there is a squarely, there's an example that's laid down for us where Jesus crossed a number of barriers in yeah. order to be able to minister to that woman. And, you know, and there was even a moral barrier there. It was scandalous that Jesus, a rabbi, would be, you know, talking to this woman in the open at the well in, you know, in the middle of the day where he could be seen. And so we just want to be encouraging to churches to say, we need to step into the difficult situations, and we need to step into situations where we see, sin and brokenness and those things present and manifesting themselves. And we don't need to pull back from that, and we don't need to hold back. What we need to do is press in. And the greatest tool that we have in that is the gospel. It's the, you know, the story of who Jesus is and what he's done. And ultimately the church is the steward of the gospel. And so as much as we, you know, love the work of parachurch ministries, and agencies like ours and ministries like ours and pregnancy resource centers and all these other partners that are around, at the end of the day, what these women need is ultimately found in the church, and that's ongoing influence of the gospel and ongoing presence of a community that's steeped in the gospel to walk with them and to love them and to encourage them and to disciple them, to help them to be, you know, conformed to the image of Jesus as well. And so as a ministry, that's a huge passion of ours, that we want to champion the local church, and we want to help establish things for the local church so that ultimately the bride of Christ is able to be seen and able to point glory right. to the Lord through these really practical, tangible things that we're doing.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, years ago when I was pregnant with my third child, I put my two little girls in a local church's Mother's Day Out program, and I did that one day a week. I was a stay-at-home mom, but I did that one day a week so that I could meet other moms and I could volunteer at my local crisis pregnancy center. And the reason I wanted to do that, guys, was because growing up, I had friends that had abortions. I found out after the fact. They didn't feel like they had anywhere to turn. Rick said, there was some shame involved in that, and yeah. they just wanted to just kind of scoot away to the closest big city, get it handled, and get back. Unfortunately, it's not handled. That's when a lot of the grief begins, right? And it's a lifelong right. process. So I began to do that, but I have to tell you, at that crisis pregnancy center, and we were by a major university in the state we were in, our yearly budget was $18,000, and that included one full-time worker. And so we were on a shoestring for sure, and I was just a volunteer. But we desperately sought support from the local church. But honestly, it was really hard to come by.
Yeah.
And we couldn't seem to get that support. So how can we take this new curriculum like Worthy? Like, what does Worthy look like when Monday morning hits?
That's great. And Lynette, you touched on this early on, that so many of those that you worked with and have interacted with didn't see the church as that resource.
Right.
And that's what we've seen even in the research is 70% of those who are getting abortion actually identify themselves as Christian.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
And 1 in 3 are actually regular attenders. Oh. And so part of what we do in this curriculum is helping the church see that this is not necessarily an issue outside of the church, that it's inside of the church too. And I think to your point of them, you know, not being able to get that support from the church, I think my heart and where I feel we've kind of messed up is we have helped develop some of these pregnancy centers and maybe support them But what we do is when we find these women, we send them away from the church to somewhere else for that support and those resources. And so the hope is through this curriculum that the church will start partnering more with these resources and really trying to bring some of those things back into the church, not taking away from what crisis pregnancy centers are doing, because they're doing incredible work. But how can we truly partner together and not just send volunteers to the center, but can we bring the parenting classes there? Can we bring some of those resources there? Or how can we really engage and develop long-term relationships with these women? And so this really hits at some of those things. And then also really being able, you asked that question too of how the church can be adoption friendly. And that's a huge piece of this is not just that pro-life doesn't always equal pro-adoption. And I think so often we're so terrified that a woman is going to make an abortion decision that we pressure her into a parenting decision when she's saying, help, help. Like, right. I don't think I can hear it.
Yes.
And she's saying, I care for this child so much that I feel like I can't even bring them into the world because they're going to be hurt.
Wow. That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this curriculum helps people just to kind of hear what's behind what the women are saying and really looks at the reasons that women choose abortion a lot of times and helps people learn how to do that active listening and affirm her fears and affirm those things, but help her understand that there are two life-giving options in parenting and adoption.
So you named the fear, yeah.
And Lynette, if I could just jump in from a practical illustration. You know, my wife, Ashley, who you mentioned at the beginning, she was the director of a crisis pregnancy center well before I was at Lifeline. And actually, it was through that work that the Lord brought us to Lifeline 17 years ago. But it's interesting because even in the last month, she's rekindled with a birth mother that she counseled all the way back in 2000.
Wow.
And this young woman was a senior at Briarwood High School here in Birmingham. She had actually been told because of her pregnancy that she could potentially be expelled from the school. And she came to this crisis pregnancy center, honestly, with a lot of shame, looking for abortion. And Ashley met her there, you know, confirmed her pregnancy. But then that next step that my sweet wife took was she didn't just confirm the pregnancy, share the gospel with her and tell her, hey, come back if you need something. But she started to reach out after this girl and chase her. And with her presence, she started to meet with her, love on her, care for her, support her, remind her of who she was in Christ. You know, through that, you know, fast forward, she ended up parenting her child. She got married. And we learned literally just a couple of months ago when she found Ashley again to thank her for that investment in her life. And not only had she gotten married, she had now been married for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And they had just adopted a child internationally.
Oh, my goodness.
Full circle. Now she's an adopted mom. And I think even to your question of where does our pro-life activism meet on Monday morning?
Yeah.
It's being present with those ladies
That's
who are
right.
in the midst of struggles. And yes, we care about that baby inside the womb, but we also have to share that we passionately care about that woman.
Yes.
And her brokenness and her mistakes. Even in her wanton sin, that we love her, we care for her, and we want to show her that she's worthy in Christ. And if we're really even introspective on our own lives, the truth of the matter is the times that we are the most sinful are the times that we don't realize our worth to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's those times that we're seeking for something that is going to fill us up and only the void that Christ can fill. It's when we're, you know, acting out of ourselves as opposed to who we are in Christ. And so, you know, I think a lot of folks, they think about this, they may hear this and they may say, yeah, but what about calling out sin? And what about calling out, you know, the transgression? Well, you know, the first thing that Jesus does in anything, and I'll take another example from scripture. He finds a woman in adultery and he doesn't call out her sin first. He loves her. He cares for her and he doesn't condemn her. But then he says, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any idea what he was writing on the ground. But, you know, at some point he met her and he said, okay, don't sin anymore. So this is not whitewashing sin. This is not whitewashing, because that's what we hear a lot. Well, but but haven't they committed sin? And don't we don't want to just affirm, you know, teen pregnancy or out of wedlock pregnancy. You know, going and loving on a woman and showing her she's worthy is actually affirming marriage. It's actually affirming wholeness.
That's right.
It's affirming who she is in Christ.
That's right. That's right. We know the enemy comes to kill and destroy families. He hates purity. He hates children. And so if he can convince the church that, okay, this was a shameful act and we need to separate ourselves from it, he's got us right where he wants us.
That's right. And I would just say, I mean, we hit that really head on. I'm glad you brought that up, Herbie, of like, this is not about shying away from that sin. We
That's
really
right.
talk about like who she is and who is she. And that means she's an image bearer. And because she's an image bearer, she's valuable. We talk about how she's fearfully and wonderfully made.
I love that.
Which is a verse we often hear about the baby, and that baby is fearfully and wonderfully made, right? But so is she.
That's right.
But we also talk about that she deserves the same punishment that I do. And when we come at it from that standpoint of, yes, she's a sinner, but so am I. And I was not, I did not deserve the grace and the love that Christ has bestowed upon me. And she doesn't deserve it either because of her sinfulness, but we have been made new, and now we've been called into this ministry of reconciliation. And so when we come at it from that standpoint of, yes, she's a sinner, but so am I, and understanding our own sin and our own standing before the Lord, then we can see her as valuable, who is somebody who needs Christ. Somebody who needs Christ in a loving and gracious and valuable way.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, and it's so true. Guys, you remember when the Lord just began to build so many families, say like 20 years ago with international adoption, and then we started bringing these children into the church. And so the barriers began to crumble because people in leadership, active members of the church, just say those that kind of, you know, are there all the time leading Bible study, they begin to do adoption and international and domestic, and they begin to bring foster children into the church. Because I will tell you, when I was a kid, I didn't see that. But then when Kevin and I, especially when we got to Louisville at Highview, we began to just see the DNA of our children's department. I mean, we look like the United Nations. And so when that happened, you know, we even saw the hearts of maybe the elderly who didn't quite get it, they began to just turn and invest and support and maybe support financially. How do we, maybe Rick, this is a question for you, or how do we see the same thing happen in churches with those who are just, this makes them uncomfortable? How do we begin
That's
to see that change turn in our local church?
That's a great question. And really, Lynette, that's why we've created Worthy.
Yeah, I love it.
Because we wanted to create a really practical tool that speaks to the whole church about how we transform these attitudes. How do we still, you know, reject sin? How do we still, you know, make war against sin? But how do we love women as image bearers of God?
Yes.
How do we love these birth parents in ways? And so three sessions, we really break that down. It's a video based curriculum that talks practically about some of those things that we can do in the church in order to be open and accessible, and also about some of the needs that many birth parents and unexpected pregnancies find themselves in. And so we try to sort of orient the church into what it's going to take in order to be open to this avenue of ministry. But then we want to take it farther than that, and so we want to put discipleship resources at the church's disposal to be able to begin that journey. And so, you know, we realize, and again, kind of going back to the example that I used before with John 4, is, you know, another thing that was going on in you know, Jesus' conversation with the woman is there was really like a transcultural conversation going on.
Yeah.
Like they were coming at it from different perspectives. And one of the things that we realized in order for us to be effective in this ministry is that sometimes we're having to stretch, we're having to reach across cultures, we're having to reach across worldviews and mindsets and those sorts of things. And so when we ask church folk to step into a little bit of a foreign land or in a place where they're uncomfortable, what do we need to do? We need to equip them, we need to resource them, we need to make sure that folks are comfortable being able to have, you know, those conversations. And so we we've provided a tool where, you know, where we can, where they can do that. And at the end of the day, the goal of this is about putting Jesus on display.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, encouraging these women to see Jesus for who he really is and to follow him, which is, you know, which is ultimately the place that they're going to find healing and reconciliation and wholeness in life, and offering them a true answer, apart from some of the counterfeit answers that, you know, that maybe they've been, you know, they've been chasing after. And then to do that in a place where they're enveloped into the community,
yeah,
of the body of Christ,
yeah,
and where the support and the encouragement to, you know, to stay the course in those things, where that's being, you know, reinforced, because in many cases we're breaking generational cycles.
Oh, absolutely.
These,
yeah,
aren't, you know, these aren't immediate things. These are, you know, these are cycles and situations that go back, you know, generations at times.
Yeah, it's
deep.
Yeah.
And we know that the gospel has the power to, you know, to break those curses.
Oh yeah. It's deep rooted. And I would dare to say almost everyone in the church has a little private story about how,
right,
yeah, how an unexpected pregnancy maybe, you know, affected their family, and they'll remember it from 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I grew up in the church, you know, that's what we're church planters. And I've seen this over and over. They're just afraid to step into this circle, this, to step into this brokenness of crisis pregnancies. I don't know if it's political or they don't want to get their hands dirty. But, you know, so many times when the Lord calls us, and I would say almost every time, I can look at all three of you's bio, everything the Lord's led you to do, what you've been doing, what you've been busy, what you've been about, and how different he's equipped all, how he's equipped all of you, and what he's led you to. And all of that, that's been a sanctification process from the Father. And all of that,
that's right,
he has built in you more of his character, more of who he is. And the same in our lives. Like, I don't even want to shudder to think what I would be without the trials and the things we've had to overcome and relying on Christ for every breath. Unfortunately, I say that because I'm leading to, most of our church members don't want to get their hands dirty, and they don't,
that's right,
want to be inconvenienced. Christy, Mac, do you find this true in
very
your ministry?
Much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. And we hit that hard. I mean, this is messy work.
Yeah, it is.
And the reason it's messy is because it's relational.
Right.
When we engage in relationships, it's messy because it's two sinners in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's
bringing a bunch of junk.
exactly. You know, like, I love my husband, I love my friends, I love all those I'm in relationship with, but that doesn't mean that they're all super easy all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I think that's why it's hard, is because it's, you're investing a lot of yourself, and a lot of your time and emotional and brain power. And there's not always a real clear right answer, or it's just loving and supporting and kind of sitting, and it's a lot of listening, and not always just coming and thinking that you have all the right answers. It's just a lot of listening, and that's just not easy.
No, it's not easy. And again, going back to, you know, to the enemies, the tools he used, the scheming he'll use to destroy relationships. And if he can continue to do that, he can keep us from making a relationship with people. He knows he can keep them from the gospel many times. You know, Herbie, I know you talk a lot about that we're not rescuers of these people. We're not rescuers of those who are struggling, that we are the rescued. How does that mindset kind of change? How does that help us keep our focus on what Christ is doing?
Yeah, and I think it really even goes into what we're talking about relationships.
Yeah.
You know, we're very much a task-driven culture, and so we will do a task with a person before we'll have a relationship with that person.
Wow, yeah.
And even if you look at biblical culture, which is what most of the, you know, the Eastern cultures are like even today, and culture in Africa is, you've got to do a relationship with someone before you're willing to do a task with them. But, you know, unfortunately, I think our church, and we've kind of exported that even globally, comes and says, well, it's the task that we must do, and we do it at the expense of relationship. And so when we see a woman that's broken, or when we see a child that is unborn and on the verge of potentially being aborted, we get into task mode and we miss the key components of relationship. And really, when we look at relationships, healthy, godly relationships are always seasoned by the Father. They're always seasoned by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's those things that we rely when we get into relationships on the Lord. And those are the things that are going to end up being the key components to helping women and children get out of their vulnerability. So I think we've got to lean in into those places where we're uncomfortable, you know, and yeah, we continue to do those tasks that,
right,
quote unquote, are easier, but we've got to also lean in where we're uncomfortable. And so, you know, I think when we start to lean into these spaces in a place where we're beyond ourselves, that's when we really see the gospel come forth. We see the Holy Spirit empower us to do things that we can't do, and He gets all the glory. And so that's what I would encourage folks to do, is lean in such a way into which you're uncomfortable,
yeah,
into where you have to rely upon the Spirit of the living God to come to your aid, to come to your rescue, and help you preach and make the gospel known in tangible ways to those that are vulnerable and to those that are hurting. Because ultimately, it's the gospel of Christ Jesus that's going to penetrate, change hearts and ways and lives. It's not our acts of kindness, even. Yes, those are important, but
right,
those are not what changes hearts.
That's right. That's right. Wow, that just such a great conversation. Christy Mack, how do we get started in implementing this in our local churches? Like, what's the first couple, just some practical steps to get this going? Where do we get it?
Yeah, so it's on our website. You can register to download everything from our website, which is lifelinechild.org. And then /worthy-curriculum.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
Well, that is great. So, Dr. Rick, how do you see this kind of changing the DNA of our local churches?
Yeah, I hope it changes the awareness for,
right,
the church's opportunity to be, you know, to be active in this. And I think, you know, going back to something you said earlier, we didn't have a culture of adoption and orphan care in the church 20 years ago either. And there were, you know, and there were stigmas against that in some places, and you know, there was some thinking that had, you know, had kind of, we had a history, like a long history in the church of those kind of things, but maybe not a present history. And I think this is the same kind of thing, where this is really just opening up the conversation, opening up God's word, talking about the opportunities that are around us and the needs for the gospel that are around us, and then helping churches to take a few really practical steps to, you know, to begin to act. And I think, the truth is that most of the ingredients that are necessary for a church to be great at this and to be, you know, stellar are, like, they already exist. And so this,
yeah,
is really just about, you know, kind of helping to connect the dots a little bit and helping the church to be a little more intentional in a way that will have a dramatic effect on the community and a dramatic effect in the lives of these women as we shepherd them toward Jesus.
Oh, goodness, that is the desire of my heart. So, you know, friends, Christy Mack, Dr. Rick, Herbie, if we could just, you know, if we're back together in a couple of years and we can say, hey, remember when, you know, people weren't engaging in this ministry so much in the local church, just like we're able to say about adoption, would that not be glorious?
That would be amazing.
It really would. Well, thank you all for joining us, joining me today on the podcast, and for just bringing this new resource, for working so diligently on this, for seeking the Lord and letting the Holy Spirit guide you on this, because I know it's a much needed tool. I'm excited to get it out there. I'm excited to see it in practice. And I'm, goodness, just so humbled to see, and man, just the potential of it, to see how the Lord will use this to heal families, to heal lives, and to build the kingdom. Just to see women realize, I am worthy. The Lord loves
me.
That's right. Because we see, you know, all throughout the Word of God, this lavish, deep, pursuing love the Father has for us. And,
that's right,
you know, even just take Psalm 147. He heals the brokenhearted. He builds
that's
up.
Right.
He gathers the outcast. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds.
That's right.
Then he's left us here to be his hands and his feet.
That's right.
I cannot think of feel like some days the world's on fire. I cannot think of a better time to bring this curriculum and to use it as a tool to see lives changed for kingdom work and for healing.
And thanks so much. Thank you, Lynette.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.